children, you can head upstairs. I was just thinking, did anyone feel like just in worship this morning they could just lay that backpack of heaviness at the feet of Jesus and replace it for his grace and his love and his kindness and his mercy? It's like the great exchange. So this morning we are in for a treat, everyone. We have got the life group or home group of Murray and Linda Jane sharing with us this morning, and I'm very excited. So turn those ears on and listen up, because it's going to be good. So Murray, where are you? There he is. Tall Murray.
Let's just pray for a minute. Father, we just thank you today again for opportunities that you give us. You've created us that way. Opportunities to connect with other people, to make those connections strong, but most of all, Father, to make them authentic, that we can only be who you've created us to be. And when other things get in the road, Lord, you're there for us. So, Father, just give me the strength today for the ears to hear and the hearts to be open as we share this theme today of Evangelism Sunday. So that's what it's about today, folks. Evangelism Sunday. And Isaac, if you could just pop up Ephesians 4, verse 11. This is a verse that I'm sure most of us that have been in the faith for years will be aware of. You know, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. This is a verse that I think a lot of people get hung up on. Because I think if we all had a conversation with each other and we asked, and I'm not, if I call out your name, I'm not expecting you to respond, but if I was to ask Chris, is he an evangelist? You know, I mean, it might be yes for him, but then I might ask Bernie and he would say no. So what I think the important thing with this verse is to remember is that these are specific callings on particular individuals. And yet, God has created us with each of these things in a small portion. I have it, David has it, Zach has it, everybody has it. Selena has it. Great to see you back in the house. It's important that I think that we understand that we don't get hooked up on it, but to receive that we each have little portions of those. When our small group, or our home group, I should say, when my wife volunteered us to do this, where do we go? Well, anyway, obviously we met as a small group. Our small group meets basically once a month. We have a good graze and then we have a chat about whatever we chat about. So obviously we were having a grazing session, and at the conclusion of it we were having a bit of a chat about this and what it might do, and everyone was sort of sharing how they saw that they were an evangelist, or what that meant to them. And we had some unexpected guests arrive, and I'm so grateful that they showed up, because they put a perspective on it which is going to be the core verse for what we're going to be sharing about today. And that verse, you can pop that up please, Isaac, will be Matthew 28 verse 19. And I'm not asking you to stand like we did last week, going up and down, but I think it'd be great that we all read this together. So let's go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's a pretty powerful verse, and I know for me, it's not that I overlook it, but I found it quite refreshing to hear it when we had this discussion. It was like a refocus for me, because that's what it is about. Therefore, go and make disciples. And the thought that I had with this is, we consider ourselves disciples, and yet we have to make disciples. So who better to do it? Because we're already walking the journey of being discipled. You can't disciple someone, basically, if you haven't been discipled yourself. Quite simple when you break it down. It's a command. We are commanded to go and do this. We all have a responsibility. It's an authoritative order. It is given with authority. And we take the authority that Jesus has placed in us, that God has put in us. We take that authority, and that's what we speak out of. The ideas and principles taught by the authority that God has given each of us. It is. It's ideas and it's principles. The things that we stand on, the things that are foundational for who we are as believers in Jesus Christ. Might seem a bit heavy, but I believe that's the reality. We all have times of self-doubt, unworthiness, and we get overwhelmed. And what do we do with that? Oh, Kerry's better at that than me. Jenna's better at that than me. I didn't ask for permission, but someone made the comment after those two, after Daniel and Blake took the service last week, made the comment, how do I follow that? You don't have to follow it at all. You just have to get up and follow in the context. Bring what you have. We've got to stop. We've got to stop it. We've got to stop looking and using other people and saying they're better at me than this. We've got to stop it. God calls me and you to go and make disciples in his name. We will hear from others this morning that will share what evangelism looks like for them. So I'm the first up of those other people. So as many of you will know, I'm a very practical sort of person, and serving others and doing stuff for others is basically where it's at for me. And I'll tell you the great thing about that, the awesome thing about that, it puts you in a position of being connected. And sometimes those connections aren't that great. Sometimes it can take some time to get a connection. And there's other times where I felt in my life where God has said, don't get connected. So just by helps practically and serving people, it does open a wide door. For me to disciple others is to allow myself to be discipled. Because without you good people in this house, I wouldn't be where I am today. We're doing this together. We rub shoulders together. We can have our points of difference. But hey, we're still together. And in doing that, we are discipling each other. So when we have working bees at church, or to the guys that are preparing men's breakfast, we're rubbing on each other. And in that context, we are discipling one another. We're encouraging one another to grow in our faith. And I believe when it says to go and make disciples, it's not only to the lost, but it is just importantly to those that have found faith, to encourage them, to keep them growing. One of the keys to this for me is Luke 6:45. Would you mind putting that up, please, Isaac? The good man bring good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. I'm guilty. It's not until latter years when wisdom has become stronger, I guess, as I've walked my faith. But it was always easy to fix things for people than to encourage them to fix them for themselves. You know, there's a huge difference between the two. And it was always easy for me to make comment, you know. Not so much now. Like I say, I think I've got wiser. And God's shown me, you know, use them proportionately between ears, eyes and mouth. So it's how we present ourselves is another key. And it's what comes out of our mouth. One of the greatest encouragements that I've had in my walk in terms of discipling people, in my previous job, I had a lot of contact with a lot of people. And there was one man that I built a good relationship with from a professional point of view. But it became more than professional, and he was having trouble. And he had made comments several visits when I'd been to see him to do with work things about his teenage daughter. And one day he, don't ask me why, but one day he just put it all on the table. He was angry. He was furious. And what capped it off for me, some of the things that he said about his daughter were just, you just didn't want to know. And my immediate response was, I said to him, you've got to stop talking about your daughter the way in which you have. Because all it is going to do is create the spiral further downwards. And it was a total turning point. Now, things got better. He phoned me on a couple of occasions at home, and one time he wasn't doing so well with his daughter again, and we talked about it. Now, as far as I'm aware, this person is not a follower of Jesus. I can tell you that they do believe that there is a God. I believe, for me, I've started discipling that person, and that there will be others that can water that and can fertilize that and can grow that. And I absolutely believe in my heart that one day he will acknowledge Jesus Christ. So that's me, folks. And I'd ask Simon and Zoe to come. Are you going to come together? No? Okay, that's fine. Sorry, Simon.
Thank you, Murray. That was awesome, right? I love that he's taking us and giving us permission to be ourselves and to do evangelism in the way that works for us. I think that's so key in what God wants to say today to us, is that use what is already within you to do what he's called you to do. And it's those small things. So, yay, I get to talk about my part in evangelism. And so for me, something that's really been a key thing for me in my life is this word prophetic evangelism, and it's taking evangelism and prophecy combined to hear God's voice for people. And so we all know that we have so many people out there hungry for spiritual experiences. You can see that all around the world with all the places that people are going to find the answer. When we carry the answer, we carry the kingdom within us. And so my verse for you today is Luke 17:21, one of my favorites, and it says, "For indeed the kingdom of God is within you." And I love the Passion Translation version. Thank you very much, Gary. But I do like it because it says, it is expanding within you. And I love that. And so the kingdom of God is expanding through us as we go about our day. So let me just tell you straight off, just by being yourself, by carrying the presence of God, you're already extending the kingdom. Because you carry something of value wherever you go. And that's what we do. The next part, we pray, we extend the kingdom of God. When we open our mouth, we take another step. But remember that your prayers are powerful and that God's using you in the places that you go to speak in wisdom and in kindness. And so the main thing I want to say is love is what drives us to bring people into an encounter with Christ. That's what evangelism is to me, is drawing people to know Jesus more, to have an encounter of his kingdom. And I love this saying, when we keep showing people the kingdom, soon they're going to want to meet the king. We carry the kingdom within us. And so I love those two words, being disciples, being baptizing people. Disciple, mentor, awesome Murray, mentoring, coming alongside, showing, that's discipling. Baptizing comes from original word baptizo. And so back in, I don't know when the days were, but Roman days and the Bible days, they used to take white cloth and to get the color of different fabrics, the purples and the dyes, they would have to immerse the white cloth in vats of dye so that it would take on the color of the dye. And that's what baptizing is. We immerse our workplaces, we immerse our families in the kingdom of God so that they take on the kingdom of God wherever we go. And so I'd love you to get that picture. So I've got some quick hints. I would like to show you my notes for today. Thank you, Isaac. This is how my brain works. This is what's sitting in front of me. I have pictures, graphs everywhere. To make it simple, hopefully you'll remember this. Prophetic evangelism equals risk equals practice. You've got to take a chance and try it out. Hear God's voice for somebody. Reach out and meet with them and practice. I love what Sean Bowles says. You translate God. You don't just give them the hard words. You try and put love on it. You put the kingdom on whatever you're saying. And you don't need to worry about how it comes across because the Holy Spirit does the rest. And I love what Murray said too, the power of the seed. Why don't we measure our days on the seeds we plant rather than the fruit we see? Think about your days. What seeds did you plant that day? How many people did you love that day? Instead, sometimes we lie in bed and think, I never did anything good today. I don't see any fruit. But yet, you've planted so many seeds. I want to remind you that your secular job is important. God is using you in that place. I love the story of Obadiah. And at the right time, God used him to bring Elijah into that place to see God move and bring the fire of God on people. And so, last thing, my hot tips for today. If you can see them, tips. One, God, ask God to give you love for the people that you're ministering to, or love for the people that you work with, or love for your own family. You know, it starts at home, right? And learn the discipline of becoming aware of God's presence. Become aware of what God's doing. Look for impressions. Look for what, you know, you might be talking to someone and see a big billboard car drive past that says freedom. Well, maybe God's trying to say, you know, he wants to speak freedom to that person today. And third, don't be weird. Don't be weird. Represent God well. You know, don't be speaking on someone who you haven't brushed your teeth. You look like crazy. You know, we represent God well. We're ambassadors. So don't be weird. That was all my sayings. Last one, remember love. That people are hungry for a revelation of Christ and what you carry. You carry the kingdom, and pretty soon they're going to want to know the king. Thank you. That's my part. I'm not sure who's next. How did I do? 3 minutes?
Right. Thank you. Sorry, I'll be reading because I feel happier with doing that. Okay. So, what does evangelism look like to me? Believe it or not, it requires a lot of listening. Oh, okay, okay. You can see that. All right. So, did you get that? It requires a lot of listening. A prayer I used to pray over myself regularly when I was helping with Cafe Connect was, Lord, show me what you see in our guests and help me not to miss it when you do. It all started with the belief that each one that we had come into the cafe was worthy of our time and effort, and we wanted them to know that. We were on the alert for ways to demonstrate this, giving people our full attention where possible and treating people with courtesy and respect, but also being consistent were important because we were being observed and we were pulled up from time to time by our guests. We learned not to get offended or take things on board. Sometimes there were opportunities to pray with people. They were prayed for anyway, whether they knew it or not, and plenty of opportunities to encourage. That's where I come from. During this time, Colossians 4:6 came to my attention. I don't know if that's... You haven't got that one? Never mind, I'll read it to you. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. So that has been my challenge, especially as a talker. I continue to pray this for myself, how to respond and not react, how to be honest but kind, how to set boundaries, all lessons in relating to people. My focus now is more local. We have a ladies' walking group out in Bell Block. We walk for an hour, and you'd be amazed what we can cover in that time, and I don't mean the distance. Okay. Once again, it is more about listening for me, for opportunities to share hope and encouragement and the reasons for the choices I make. Over time, there have been conversations about job loss, death of a spouse, cancer, family challenges, not to mention some interesting discussions around election time and the referenda. As well, just in our little cul-de-sac, we have a variety of ages and cultures. These are the people who have the opportunity to see us day in and day out and observe what the impact of living a life for Jesus has had on our lives, if we allow it and make an effort to connect with them. So that is the challenge for me. What I've noticed with one neighbour in particular is that if I share something that makes a big difference for her, that opens her up for me to share other things, but also she passes it on to her family and her friends. So, yeah, it's not all about me. Okay. Anyway, that's enough for the time being about me, but there is somebody else that I'm going to speak on behalf of today, and you'll see we've got a number of verses, but one of them won't be spoken to, so I'm just going to drop this person in it. The verse is from Romans, and this is you, Phil. Sorry, you said I could do what I like, so I am. Okay. Phil, yeah, this verse is about it, speaking of the kindness of God leading to repentance, and that is something that's motivated him. And what I suggest you do is ask him what are some of the opportunities he has had to show kindness and generosity, because he certainly does, and he takes the opportunities that come his way to demonstrate these values. So that is me for the time being. Right, and the next person is Daphne.
So first of all, our lovely quiet Phil, I would like to pay a tribute to Phil because he has the gift of serving, and I've watched him over the years, and he serves very quietly. And if I've noticed it, how much more has the Lord watched what Phil has done over the years? Congratulations, Phil. You're a champ. I'd like to emphasise that those who have spoken before me have not consulted with me, but so much of what they have said has laid the foundation of what I have prepared. So first of all, I stand here and say that I wouldn't be standing here if it wasn't for the grace and the love and the mercy of God. I give him all the praise and give him all the glory. To me, and I'm speaking to myself, evangelism is not a matter of what you can't do. I can't preach to the crowds. I can't tick off a list of folk who I have been responsible for to come to know the Lord. But evangelism is not about what you can't do. It's about what you can do. Each individual can make a difference because God's love has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It was never meant for us alone, but it was to be shared. We can, first of all, and it's already been mentioned, we can pray. We can pray for the people that we come in contact with because we have access to the Father through the Holy Spirit. We can bless the people we come in contact with. It's our workmates, our schoolmates, the people we meet in our times of leisure, just wherever we are, in the supermarket, in the shops, on the street, we can bless other people. And one of my tools that I am, because I've got the time, I'm at home all the time mainly, sorry, is Facebook. There's a list of people that are listed up there, people you may know. And the ones I don't know, I delete. But the ones I do know, I leave there, except I made one mistake and knocked out someone that I wasn't meant to. But the point is, when I see that photo on my cell phone, I can pray for them. And it's a good tool for evangelism. Evangelism should be a natural response to meet another person's need. For encouragement, it's already been mentioned, for comfort, for hope, and above all, for love and prayer. We have many examples in the life of Jesus who was our great example, and he was a natural evangelist. We think of, for instance, his encounter with Nicodemus, meeting Nicodemus at his particular need, or the woman at the well, who Jesus had that amazing conversation with, told her all things that he knew all about her. And what did she do? She dropped her water pot and went straight back to the village and said to the people, come and see the man who told me all things I ever did. She was evangelizing because Jesus had imparted into her life. She said, come and see. Or for instance, the Gadarene demoniac who was so miraculously freed from all those unclean and demons. So following that miracle, he wanted to go with Jesus. He wanted to be with Jesus physically, but the comment, Jesus' instruction was, no, go home and tell. Go home and tell your family. Go and tell the people that you live with. And to tell them, particularly all that the Lord had done for him, not only would they see it in his life, but he had to speak it out. And we know through the record of Jesus' life that Jesus went about doing good. Wherever he went, he was doing good because he was a natural evangelist. Evangelism may only be just one link in a chain of events or encounters that can lead a person to the Lord for salvation, and that has already been referred to. We all have something to share. Might be a smile. Heard of one person who just through a handshake was the first thing that set this particular person on the path to salvation. Just a handshake. A kindness, comment, just a casual comment, a smile, doing something, baking a cake or just ministry of helps again. All these things can be like little links. It was on the day of Pentecost that the Spirit of God was poured out on the believers. They received the power to evangelize, and the book of Acts is a record of the explosion of evangelism that took place. I have one more word to say, and I am passionate about it, that we can follow many ways. The churches can follow many ways. I believe that today the greatest thing that is needed in the church is a spirit of repentance and a crying out to the Lord for a fresh encounter, a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It is the one thing and the only thing that will bring in the kingdom of God. Awesome. So,
thanks, Stephanie. What a treasure. A tong. Chris. Chris, yep.
All good. Oh, that was awesome, Daphne, what you had to say. My scripture that I'm going to share is Psalm 150, verse 6, which was the last psalm, for those that don't know. And it's let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And that scripture has deep meaning to me, and that everyone is worthy of evangelism, and that's everyone's job as an ambassador of Christ to go out there and share the gospel with them because they are worthy. And I'll just, the big thing with, there's something from myself, and I'm a man of my word, so if I'm going to say that I'm going to do something, I'll do it. And that's a big part of showing people what you, putting your best foot forward as you are an ambassador for Christ. That's the main thing that I was wanting to put across this morning. And a big thing for me in my life was I grew up in a Christian family, and was I had the opportunity to represent New Zealand as a and then become a professional cyclist. And the Lord, I remember praying this prayer to the Lord. I was like, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? And if you want me to ride professionally and keep pursuing this, you open the door for me. And the door shut, and I was frustrated. But I knew deep down in my heart, 'cause that the God that I have and you have, he will open doors, and he will put you where you need to be. And I just, it was, this decision was, I'd done an apprenticeship as well in plumbing and gas fitting, and then I was like, well, Lord, I can continue pursuing cycling, or I can put my hand to something else and actually help others through doing my trade, which I actually have more wisdom these days, and looking back on it, he set me up with cycling so he could work out other things in my life so I could become to a point where I am now, and in my plumbing, and being able to share with other people my experiences and what the Lord has done. And that's a powerful thing. And that's all I have to say.
I'll always have something to share. Thank you, Chris. That was really good, man. You do. You actually, what you say, you do. But you don't say too much. That's okay. So, Murray, carrying on from you, and Linda Jane, Zoe, and all, everyone. What I have to share, to be honest, I haven't thought of it much, but I believe in the Holy Spirit. And, hey, Jesus came as the light of the world, and now we are the light of the world, and the darkness is out there. And that is why I say, well, evangelism is the light. Hey, get out there and do it. So the scripture I'm going to share just came to me while I was just sitting and listening to all. It's very different. It's from Zechariah. Is that all right, Scotty? No, you don't have it. I didn't tell you because I didn't know myself. The Lord just put it. Zechariah says, then he said to me, this candlestick causing it to yield to ceaselessly supply of oil from the olive trees is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. And really, the main thing is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So that's mostly how I operate and think about evangelism. I think my biggest weapon in evangelism is my personal testimony. And each one of you have a testimony. And that's your most powerful. When people say, oh, I don't know what to share from the scripture, I'm not good as Kerry or even Selena or whatever. You know, each one of us has something to share. And I meet a lot of people just naturally in my work life, and even by just perhaps my nature, my culture, whatever you might say, that I'm not shy to say things to people, whomever I see. And believe me, Jesus has always been really, really faithful, because he does. And like prophetic, I'm a bit like Zoe too. I like the prophetic side of things. And, you know, and prophetically, you know, you have something, and when 10 out of 10 you get, you pray, and you'll get somebody you want to share with. When you talk, most people I talk to, they want to know, what do I do on Sundays, for example? I go to church. Oh, you go to church? You're from India. Why do you go to church? I'm just giving you a lead, like, you know, it's maybe a cue kind of a thing. This is for me. But I share my testimony. Jesus. Everything is through Jesus. And even, you know, I might have a lot of power. We all got power and might and this and that. But it's by the Spirit of God. God gives you the ability and enables you, that people ask, they're curious. And at this particular time when COVID is going on all over the world, I can evangelize on the telephone. I can evangelize by my generosity. I can evangelize by my hospitality. We can have a lot of things we can do practically. So we can't say we can't do anything. Oh, I'm not capable. No, you are capable. Each one of us, we are called to be disciples. Murray said that. Not that I would listen to Murray, but I would listen to the Bible, you know. And I looked at that. Each one, you know, in the team, like Chris, Zoe, Linda, and sorry, Linda Jane, I'm not going for 1 hour walk with you girls, because I don't know. We are not belonging to the trip. The guys talk very little when they go for a walk. So it's different environment. The opportunities are different. You know, you might have a coffee. You might meet somebody. So I am giving you what evangelism means to me. It means to me is by, not by might and power, but the Spirit, says the Lord. And that's all I want. I know about, rather get into a lot of theology about things. And if we can't do that, then you can use your testimony. Just your testimony is, when you have nothing to share, share your testimony. Sometimes I cannot also give scriptures to people. Like Murray said, your workmate. I'm going through a situation now where one of my workmate is not very well. Serious issues going on with him. And I cannot disclose who it is and what he's going through. But I just felt to, and he's been a long time working for me. I told him and to call his wife for a cup of coffee with both of them. All we went to do is went to cafe. I said, look, brother, I don't know what you're going through, what your future is. I cannot. But I'm with you on your journey. And there were tears in his wife's eyes, you know. And yesterday he rung me again, this worker of mine. He says, we were so touched just by speaking few words, taking the time out to go for a coffee with them. And that's what God brings to me. And that's what is prophetic. And show your love, just like Zoe, you know. Why? We don't have to have a serious prophecy coming into our head and, you know, go and run around, thus saith the Lord. No, it's just ordinary. We are ordinary people, you know, with superpower. You know, we are superpower people. So there's, you know, a lot of opportunities have come. Opportunities will come every day. Even as today we walk out, we'll have opportunities. We'll have somebody there. Be expectant. You know, be expectant in God. And I'm always expectant, you know, if I'm walking on the street, I'll say, good day. And if he says, good day, that's good. That means, like, I can talk to that person, you know. And Sandy says, you're crazy. You don't even know who's that. I said, I don't know who that is. But at least now he knows who I am, because I'll say, I'm so-and-so, shake their hand. And evangelism is not necessarily just by inviting people to your house and having a meal with them. Evangelism is everywhere. It's 24/7. God, sometimes you think about people at night when you go to bed, and then God will give you. And suddenly you haven't seen this person for years and years. And there's an opportunity suddenly, you know, and you see him in the street. Hey, I was thinking of you. Why do we say that? Or you pick up the phone. I'm glad you rung. The other person says on the other end. Why? That's the prophetic. That's by the Holy Spirit. It's not, you know, just in a structural form. There's no structure. So I didn't prepare anything. It's just God, what is putting in my heart, in my mouth. So I can go on. How many minutes I got left, Linda? Close to 2 minutes. I have, you know, a lot of examples I can give about my life only. Now, they say Kerry is an evangelist. No, I'm also an evangelist. Every one of us is here, evangelist. The Great Commission and the word in Matthew's, which is it the key scripture today? Marie, is it the key scripture? I thought this was happening last week. And so, seriously, I was mistaken, but I didn't know it was this week, because I text Marie and said that, hey, look, we can't make it because we both had the flu, Sandy and myself, and coming out of all that. But he says, that's all right, we'll pray for you. I thought he understood that we're putting our apology. So he said, I think he replied, like, thanks for letting me know. And that's it. So if I'm speaking, but that is the truth. Right, Linda Jane has got up. That means I've gotten over my time.
I'm not finished yet.
I'm not finished yet.
Right, okay. I think Deepak's actually done my job, so I was going to bring it all together, but I think there's some key words you've probably heard, and one of them is to do with connection, another is to do with opportunities, that being a big one, taking the opportunities that come your way. And Deepak also mentioned expectation, having an expectation, and that, I think, is where it starts. If you ask God for opportunities, he'll give them to you. And just remember my prayer earlier, help me to recognise them when they come. So, yeah. We have some little cards that have got the scriptures that we've shared, apart from Deepak's, because he didn't know what he was going to use. So... so you can add that on the bottom. So these are to take away, and there is a little prayer challenge on it. And so I think I will leave it with that. Oh, actually there is, sorry, yep, take those. There is one thing I wanted to just share, and this is the end of the autumn season of worship. Believe it or not, evangelism was in that. And Romans 12:1 says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And so I encourage you to see this in relation to what we've been sharing, and demonstrate, yeah, and use it for demonstrating your faith. I will leave it at that now, Deepak. He's going to pray a blessing over us.
Okay.
But you'll need to listen, because it's not
Oh, the key scripture was, hey, you cut this, 28:19, wasn't it, Matthew? Yep. Sorry, I've just got this piece of paper sitting in my pocket. Okay, it goes like this. Prabhu, mujhe dikha ki tu kisse chata hai ki main aaj milu aur mujhe buddhi de ki main unhi tujhko sahi tarah darsha sakun. That's in Hindi. So that's my mother tongue. So I brought a witness. Don't worry. What I'm speaking is the truth. Alwyn is there. If I'm saying anything different, he knows. Now, you can translate it in English now for me. Now, Lord, show me who you want me to meet with today and give me the wisdom to represent you well to them. So, whom has he given you, Simon, today? No, this is not a quiz question, not a trick question. It's not a trick question, brother. So, that is the blessing of the prayer. Can I share that? Some more things always creep up. Holy Spirit is very active today. Sorry. I just want to share, carrying on from a couple of Sundays back when I shared about my family and all the difficult things happening in India and the bereavements and all. You know, just be sensitive as this time for the expat Indians around wherever you live. You know why I say this? Because there is not one expat I know of in New Zealand. I know a lot of Indians around who live in New Zealand haven't lost a family member in India. Some family member. Some are very close family, just like mine, I lost. And sometimes very close to the heart. But what about the Christians there as well? What about the church like Tony Anthony's church? Massive church of, you know, over almost 500 churches. You know, what about them? So just in as an update, I shared with Chris that as an update, yeah, they have lost a lot of pastors, senior pastors of churches. Some churches are left without a pastor completely. It's still a lockdown. They do, you know, by media, just sharing. And they have services on that. They post it on the media as well. But I'm getting regular updates from Tony. Tony and his family in their bubble, they're well, because they still sort of are controlling everything. We got Steve from the other church. He's in Nepal. And I was talking to Lindell. The senior pastor's gone. The leaders have gone. Like, you know, she said, like Fraser Hardy is for Link New Zealand. One of them is like that over there. And he's passed away. COVID-19. Now, why this? You know, I've been thinking about this COVID-19 thing. I said, it's hit India very rapidly, like a fire going right across and the wind blowing so fast. But just God showed me there is peace going to come. There is going to be a land where Jesus will arise. Jesus will arise there. So I just wondered if I could pray with all to you all together. So you don't have to kneel, Alwyn. You don't have to kneel. Father, we just uphold the nation of India in your hands, Lord. Not only, Lord, the people who have lost their dear ones, Lord, mother, father, parents, sister, brother, grandchildren, and so forth, Lord, just close family. Some are really destitute and left just homeless, Lord, even. At this time, Father, you be their God, Lord. You be their father, mothers, whatever, Lord, for them, Jesus. Father, you bring total peace in the land of India. And we uphold Tony and all the churches of ABC, Lord, in India, Father. Right across India, they spread, Lord. Father, your hand be upon them.